Flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is Monday, August 22nd, 2022. This is an in-person public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice is published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting is posted on the township website, the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and fax of the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Ms. Light?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McKiernan?
Absent.
Mr. Pepper?
Here.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just to run down the agenda, we've got meeting minutes. I think there's a resolution listed on the agenda, which we will not adopt tonight. There's a request for extension of time room platypus, and I see those gentlemen in the front row. Good evening. How are you? Public hearing for Joseph and Marianne Volturo. We'll talk about carrying that. And then Donald Baker, applicant seeking amended preliminary and final site plan. And then at the conclusion of that, I have two sort of administrative contract regulation issues I'd like to discuss with the board member. Take maybe 10 minutes after we're done with the public hearings. So that's what we have lined up. Anyone else have anything they want to add? If not, let's go to the meeting minutes of March 28th. Eligible members are Lewis, Light, McCaffrey, McKiernan, Pfeffer, Rohrbach, and Stevens. Denise, I reviewed it, so one place there's two periods in there. That's the only thing that I saw. I'll let you go look for them.
What, you'll let me look for it?
Well,
okay. I'm happy with it. That's the only thing he's changing. I'm happy with
it.
It's a Where's Waldo for you now.
There you go.
It's near the top of page 5, second paragraph.
Oh, good.
Does anyone else have any comments or corrections to those minutes? Okay, do you want to abstain or do you want to read in and come back to me?
I don't have anything to read.
Oh, okay.
Steve, you just abstain.
Mr. Chairman, on the St. Clair vote, I believe I voted yes. I don't think I'm listed as having voted.
You got to speak louder.
Which
page are you on?
That's toward the end. I don't recall what page it is.
Yes, you did vote yes. What, did I just leave you out?
I believe so.
Okay. I can make that change.
Any other comments or corrections? Motion to approve these minutes as corrected, please. And a second?
Second.
Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
I'm not eligible. I left halfway through.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry about that. Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
I'm not staying here.
That's right.
You got Lewis, Light, McCaffrey, and Rohrbach, correct?
Right.
And you have two abstentions and one absence.
Yes. Well,
I'm not saying I'm just not eligible.
He's not eligible.
Okay. But you're here, so they're not eligible. Okay.
Same difference. You're not voting. Yeah, I guess.
Okay. And just for the record, we're the only outstanding minutes at this point are June minutes, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Next item we had listed was resolutions for Kelson and John. I know that's listed. Where do you stand on that?
I have the first draft. I'm not satisfied with the second draft. So I didn't want to release it like on Friday
Right.
And then get creamed.
we'll likely see that for next month.
Yeah.
And the only other one that's still in the pipeline is IPP Solar.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I think that is it for administrative items. Next up, request for extension of time from Platypus. Gentlemen, come on forward, please.
Mr. Chairman, Scott Reckant, R-E-K-A-N-T, in the firm of Collins and Dykeman, LLP, on behalf of Platypus, moving the application for an extension.
Have a seat, please. I'm just always comfortable. Just speak into the microphone, if you please.
I have one of those code voices that carries across the field.
Actually, the table mic will pick you up.
Unless
you're standing at
the
easel or something.
Right, if you stand up, you need the handheld. If you're sitting at the table mic, will pick you up in
mind. That's fine. So this is an application for an extension of time. The previous application is 2018-04, which was extension from 2015-09. 2015-09, there were some conditions that were posed. Condition 1E, which was a one-year limitation to obtain construction permits, and 1F, 1 year to complete the construction. We're now here asking that those be extended for an additional year from the board vote to allow the applicant to add three more bays onto the building consistent with the board's previous approvals. And I have the principal company here to explain the reason for this and the need for this.
Okay, just let me make sure I got this straight. So, Resolution 2019-09, which was application 2014-01, that granted amended preliminary and final site plan approval to allow modifications to the previously approved excavation and construction operation. But it said in the conditions that all the prior conditions, condition number 3 of Resolution 2019-09 says, except as modified herein, the applicant shall remain subject to all the prior approvals relative to the property, including as set forth in the 2015 approvals. So, they are seeking an extension of two of the conditions from the 2015-09 approval. Now, he correctly referenced case 2015-09, that's the underlying case. The last resolution that the board adopted, again, was this 2019-09, but the prior resolution, 2018-04, had actually memorialized a number of things, one of which was a third modification of condition 1 and 2 of the underlying resolution 2015 to extend the time within which to revise documents and obtain signatures on the site plan. Obviously, they revised the documents, they obtained signatures on the site plans, because it sounds like, this is what I want to make sure I understand, it sounds like you've got construction permits for some of the project. So yeah. Let me get you sworn first. Can you raise, you swear the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Yeah, Glenn Michaels, owner of Platypus.
You got to speak up and spell your last name.
Glenn Likus, L-I-K-U-S, the principal of Platypus Enterprises.
Okay, so when you say the principal, you are the...
I'm the owner.
Okay, this is a limited partnership?
Yes. No, it's an LLC.
LLC, you're the president?
Sure.
Okay.
He would be the member, this whole member, I believe, right?
Okay. Not that they're an ink.
No, it's LLC.
Oh, LLC, okay. Yeah. All right, you're the sole member. Okay. So, what did you pull a construction permit for, and what is under construction?
So, there was a pre-existing six-bay garage there, and the permit that we pulled was to renovate that building, to put radiant heat and a new slab, insulate the building, put new lights in the building.
Okay, but that's all for the site plan approval.
Correct.
Okay. And so when was that permit pulled? Approximately.
2019.
Okay. And construction is still ongoing there.
Well, So that it was two parts. So the permit included a renovation to that building that was there. We added a bathroom, we put heat in it, we put new lighting in it. And it also included an addition of three bays to the south side of the building. So we pulled the permit and we did all of the renovations to the existing building just so that we could get a TCO and use the building. The plan was then to do the addition, which was somewhat of a separate building. There was already an existing exterior wall.
But did the permit you pulled in 2019, did that include a permit to construct the addition to the three bay?
Yes, I believe it was all part of one permit. Now there were, as Denise can attest, there were some additional things that got tacked onto that. There was a plus, but I believe it was all tied back to the original permit.
Put it this way: do you need construction permits for anything else?
No.
You don't.
I just need an inspection.
I believe that for all the renovating work, what Liz told me earlier today, all the renovations have been completed, and he has a TCO for all of that work. What we need to do is we need to construct the addition, which would be the three wall, the roof, and all the other stuff.
You got a permit to construct the additions, but you haven't started construction on the additions?
Correct.
Aha. Okay. I understand. Under the Uniform Construction Code, the permit, I believe it's it's expired after a year. So I assume you're gonna need,
if there's no work being done.
Well, he just, let me ask again.
But I mean, that can mean one nail in a board.
Right. Did you start any work on the addition to the three bays?
We didn't do the foundation, but there was infrastructure that was related to the three bays that we did do.
Such as what?
We put the plumbing in for the water recycling system. So the water recycling system was located in the existing building, but the trench drains that picked up water, the wastewater, was in the new addition. So that was all part of our plumbing permit, which was part of that, what was already inspected.
Put it this way. We might think a certain way about it, but what if the goal would be that whatever he presents here, whatever the board does, that he wouldn't have to come back here? So we might feel a certain way. What if the construction...
If it's expired, is Tom a code official?
Put it this way. You have to decide. You want to rely on your 2019 construction permit for that three bay, or do you want to also ask for, your attorney said you were asking for an extension of 1E and 1F. Presumably he asked for the extension of 1E so that you could get a new permit for the addition to the three bay. You got to decide what you want to do. If it were me, I know what I would do. I ask the extension for 1E.
Right. We'd like the extension for 1E. This way we're not dependent on the construction official coming out and deciding whether we are still under construction or whether we have completed construction. And
forget complete construction. You want an extension of 1E to allow for a new construction permit if it's necessary.
Yes.
Now, is there anything other than you got a TCO for the renovation of the existing building. You got a construction permit, and you're asking for an extension of condition 1E to allow you to get a new construction permit, if necessary, for the three-bay addition. Is there any other work that's encompassed by the underlying 2015 site plan and or the 2019 amended site plan?
Nothing additional.
Okay. Now let's talk about condition 1F, which gives 1 year from the date of the issuance of the first construction permit to finish everything and get a permanent CO. You obviously need that. How long is it going to take you to to do the addition to the three bed. Is it going to take you more than a year?
No, assuming the permit is valid.
Assume the permit's not valid, and you have to apply for a new one. Okay? How long would it take you to do the addition to the three bed? Would it take you more than a year?
No, once I'm allowed to begin construction, it'll take a few months.
Okay. So, rather than tie your requests for extensions to what the board did before, which is just going to make it more complicated for me and everyone to figure out, what dates do you want? What date do you want 1E extended to in order to allow for a new construction permit, if necessary, for the three-bay addition? And I assume you want 1F extended, so it's going to be 1 year from the date of issuance of a new construction permit, if necessary, for the three-bay, or what, if you don't get the new permit?
So it would be 1 year from the
How about this? 1 year from tomorrow, if the existing permit still allows him to construct,
yes, that's fine.
And 1 year from the date of the issuance of the new permit if he needs it.
Correct.
That works. Okay, yeah. Let me just write that down. And this is a permanent CO for both, for the whole thing. Okay. Does everyone, I now understand what they're seeking. Does everyone understand what they're seeking?
Can I say and see if it matches with you? Permit. Seeking 1 year from tomorrow for a new permit. Maybe you won't need it. Okay. And
No.
How long 1 year from tomorrow to do construction if he already has a valid permit.
But what about the permit? The permit is harsh. How long does he have to get a permit?
Condition says, yeah, you're right. It's 1 year from tomorrow. We didn't do that. You're right.
Right, I think we covered that.
Tom is right. Allow for a new construction permit if required. It would be 1 year from tomorrow.
Correct. Part two, you either have, if no permit is needed, you have a year from tomorrow to complete the NCO. If a permit is needed, you get a year from the date of the issuance of the permit.
That's
what you have.
Well, that's better than I had. Yeah, I was missing that beginning part. Good for you.
Is there a time that he has to issue an application? Otherwise, it's open-ended.
Well, no, it's not open-ended. Give him an extension of a year. If he wants to take the year, he's asking.
We have to get our permit by August 21st, no matter what.
Let me just remind. Let me remind everyone of one.
It's August 23rd, 20.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just remind everyone of one thing, which is why.
Because that's the next year.
So today, next year.
Yeah, right. That will not be an issue.
The last remaining, there was a condition of the underlying approval that provided that once you get the CO and you're in the new place, you stop using the old place. Remember that condition? In other words, this approval didn't give you the right to use both. One of the selling points to the board is next to one variant.
Oh, okay. I understand, yeah.
Right. So what's the status of your existing place on Route 31?
Go.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, no.
Using that as a baker.
Yeah. That's the bigger one.
We got two construction companies. I am so sorry.
We're all on the same page.
I'm sorry to withdraw that.
Okay. I have a couple questions. You're all set on site plans? You've met all requirements? Everything is signed? That's all done?
Correct.
Site plan?
Yep.
They're not looking for any extension. They're not going to come back soon. Okay.
Not extended, but the additional. That's it.
Okay, fine. Yeah, could you just talk a little bit about the justification for the extension, why you're so delayed?
Well, I, if I'm not mistaken, the date that we got the permit and began was 2019. And so what we did was we renovated the existing building so we could get a TCO.
Did COVID have anything to do with it? COVID?
A little bit. So a year after we had completed the renovations of the existing building, this ballpark is when COVID hit. And that really just through everything in the construction, I mean, everything life in general, up into the air. And, you know, it was a chaotic couple of years just trying to keep things together. So I didn't, you know, if we didn't need to spend the money on the addition, we already had a perfectly good working space. We just tightened our belts and lived with that, and it was fine. And then now that smoke has cleared a little bit, I wanted to put the addition up, called for a footing inspection, and there was no permit. So he filled me in on the fact that it expired and had to come back here.
Have the factors which delayed you, have they all gone away such that from here over the next year, whatever those delays were,
yes,
are no longer going to delay you? That's
yeah.
I'm trying to think ahead.
I don't want to be back here next year asking for another.
We don't want to see you next
year.
That's
fine.
Got it.
Listen, I have no personal knowledge about any of this, but from what you just described, you misunderstood what the construction official told you. He didn't say you have no foundation permit. He said you have no permit. I don't think he recognizes that 2019 permit. I'm just telling you, don't be shocked, okay? Because that's what, from hearing what you just said and knowing what they do, I believe that that's the case.
So does that permit exist in a file somewhere, though?
No. In other words, you got a permit. In 2019, under the Uniform Construction Code, it expired a year after use. Since you didn't use it for the three-bay addition, it's expired. It's null and void.
He used it for the renovations, but not for the addition.
Right.
Right.
So the renovation portion of that permit is TCO at this point. Did that disappear as well?
No.
No, if you have a TCO, you're going to go for the permanent CO. You're seeking the extension of 1F to get that permanent CO for the renovation. You're seeking the extension of 1E so you can get a new construction permit so you can do the three-bay addition. And also so you can get a CO when you finish that three-bay addition.
So if I call, let's just say I call tomorrow for a final on the bathroom, you know, the fixtures
are... You know what, ready for this? I have no idea.
I guess I
started off by saying I have no personal knowledge. I should have just ended it with a period. Instead of letting my mouth blow.
I'm not in the construction department.
Yeah. You got
to
call it.
There has to be a permit still valid if there's a TCO open.
It's a good theory. You should go check it with the construction department.
You should talk to your attorney.
I'll be there in the morning.
Yeah. What you're saying... Just so you understand, it makes no legal sense.
Yeah.
It might make sense to you. It doesn't...
Fine.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Do you want some questions? Maybe you have any questions?
Yeah, one asked our planner, has the zone changed in any way on this particular area?
No, not in terms of permitted uses or bulk standards or otherwise.
Okay, so everything is still the same thing.
It would be permitted, right?
This is still
permitted. No. Well... There's a use variance, which runs with the land. Quite frankly,
that's a better answer.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it might not even matter, Tom. But just so you don't have to worry about it, no. Nothing's changed.
Correct? For all intents and purposes.
Right.
Relative to the use variance.
Right.
Okay. For the use variance.
Good question.
Yep.
All right. Good. And I heard before that all three professionals of our profession are all satisfied. All improvements are... done, completed, striping, berms, landscaping.
Wait a minute.
Well, no, we haven't gotten to that yet.
They haven't gotten there. He's on a TCO. A temporary CO is only issued by the construction official
Or the building.
I understand, but these guys don't review anything until the permanent CO. So, like it or not, Tom, that's how they do things here.
So when they're ready to come for a permanent CO, then they have to submit a compliance package.
All the site improvements. Forget about the building.
Their maintenance guarantee has not been released yet. I mean, their performance guarantee hasn't been released yet. They haven't even posted a maintenance guarantee yet.
And we do make recommendations for TCO, but it doesn't require the entire site to be complete. Yeah. It just needs to be safe. You know, base course paving could be there, temporary striping, signs, ADA in compliance, but it's still a recommendation we would make to the code official who ultimately issues the TCO.
Okay. All right.
And typically TCOs have a time limit.
I understand, but I don't want to get any further into this.
That's not what they asked for.
That's not what he asked for.
But may I
just talk about that? At a fairness to Nick, we don't have any facts about what you're going to, your next question. We just don't know. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just left it as a period. We now understand his request. The chairman has actually stated it better than me. That's the request. You asked him about delay. He basically said, COVID screwed him up.
You didn't see further delay?
That's what he says.
So it looks like the board is not ready to vote and lean towards giving the applicant what he's asked for. Time to stop talking. Anyone else have any questions, comments? No? You have any problem with this? No? I have a motion to grant the extension of time as I just read it off a minute ago. And a second, please.
Second.
And Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Can I vote on this because I wasn't here?
Yes, you're, yeah. You're, yeah.
Okay, yes. Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion passed.
Okay.
Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and next item on the agenda is Joseph and Marion Voltero, and I'll just kind of read the sentence, and Denise, you can fill in the blanks. The applicant is now requesting to carry this application to September 26, 2022.
Guys, gentlemen, please take it in the hall, please.
Denise, could you just fill in the details on your conversation with this applicant, please?
Well, I didn't speak with the applicant. I just received that notification from the attorney, that they're working on some revisions to the plan and the application, and they're not completed, so they've asked for an extension to the next book.
Just so
September meeting.
To refresh the board's recollections, I took out that application today when they didn't realize, they didn't look at the agenda close enough that they were asking to have it put off, and I called Denise, and I said, Denise, where are the architectural drawings? My notes said that the board did a straw poll, and there was 4 in favor and 2 against the use variance, and the board members wanted this architectural drawing. And then he said, you didn't look closely at the agenda, did you? And they said, no. He said, well, look, they're requesting to carry it. I said, do you know why? She said, no. I assume it has something to do with the architectural rendering.
Yeah, he didn't say that specifically, but
I'm assuming, and I know it happens sometimes if you assume, but
so we may or may not see them, and they'll need to re-notice.
Well, that's the other question. The letter didn't say, did it, to carry it?
I don't believe so, without notice.
Without notice. And if it's carried to September, the last hearing date was, I believe, in June.
In June.
Mm-hmm. July, August, September. So the board has the rule about
4 months.
It
depends how old.
Your 200-foot list. Right. Can't be more than 4 months long. Oh, if they had the hearing at the board's June meeting, that means they had to have had that list no later than the beginning of June to get the notices out. But that would make the list June, July, August.
I think it may still be good for September.
It might still be good for September, but it might not. It might be pushing the limit. So if you guys want to carry it to September without need for further notice, you can. If you don't want to, you don't want to. Now, you had 2 interested parties participate in that case.
I don't know if they were formally objectors or not, but both of the two people who participated from the public cross-examined the applicant and cross-examined their engineering expert and made comments. The board let them make comments under oath to it because they knew the thing was being carried. So you guys have to decide. There was no request to carry it without need for further notice, but what do you want to do? You want to say, okay, it's going to September, but specifically, Denise, tell them they have to renotice, or do you want to make an announcement, it's going to September with no need for further notice, and then have Denise say, by the way, you didn't ask, but this is what they did.
Give you my preference. I think they're going to renotice. If you remember how strongly that one neighbor felt, he had a list of kind of 4 or 5 pages of questions.
Mm-hmm. Which we didn't let him go through. We only let him go through a couple that were relevant to the testimony that night, and he was promised that when they come back, he could ask the rest of his questions.
And we asked him, said, tell the applicant what questions you're going to ask next time, and he started going over them. He had a lot of good questions, actually, so that would be my inclination. Does anyone disagree with that?
I'm just curious. Was there any public notice at all that we were thinking about carrying it? Because they're not here now.
Well, that's a good question.
And if they're not showing up today, I don't know why we bother if the notice.
Well, what if they know?
That's what I'm wondering. No. Denise, is you in any way like
we didn't tell them. What if the applicant told them?
Or if they looked at the agenda being carried?
Actually, the agenda. The agenda, when it was published on the township website, did it say that it was.
Just so you know, Denise did a revised agenda, which she didn't have to do.
I just did that today to pull the resolution.
I understand. But you also pulled the public hearing on Volterra. But the one on the website,
it has it.
It does have it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And it says that they requested the carry.
Okay.
Yeah, they should know.
I'm going to use the old agenda and not the new agenda.
Yeah, I just did that to
print
the hearing.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so carry to September. You need to renew this.
Got it.
I'm think we're going to see him. Okay, we're ready to move on. Okay, Donald Baker, applicant. Come on up, please. Grab the table. Applicant is seeking amended preliminary final site plan, bulk variance, approval to install additional fencing, et cetera, et cetera.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Michael Obrodnik. I'm an attorney at Sabo Shaw Law Firm in Somerville. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Baker Construction. We have Robert Kaiser, our professional engineer and professional planner from Craig Sires and Associates. And we also have Donald Baker and his son available to answer any operational or additional questions. In summary, this is an application that was previously granted preliminary and final site plan, major site plan approval, necessary for the construction of a storage building and related office space for the construction business, which has been constructed. The applicant received prior use variance and site plan approval to demolish the existing dwelling, barn, and associated improvements to develop a one-story, 19,200-square-foot building to be occupied by Baker Construction. Don Baker is the owner of Baker Construction, the general building and masonry contracting company, which has been family-owned and operated since 1978 locally. This application seeks an amended preliminary and final major site plan approval necessary to permit the construction of 2 2,500-gallon and 1 500-gallon fuel storage tanks, relocation of the dumpster enclosure, and construction of an automatic 6-foot high box wire fence with entrance gate. The subject property is located 1070 Route 22, also known as Block 4.03 Lot 31. It's approximately 8.59 acres and is in the ROM 3 district zone. ROM 3 is Research Office and Manufacturing, and the Route 22 Highway Corridor District is also encompassing the subject as identified in the Township's Master Plan. The proposed use that was approved and constructed was not a permitted use in the ROM 3 zone and was approved for that use variance and other bulk variances by application number 2020-01 dated February 24th, 2020.
Is that the resolution number is 2021-01
The application number was 2019-04.
This application to construct these fuel tanks, relocation of the dumpster and the entrance gate, will necessitate a steep bulk variance for the chain link security fence and automatic gate within the front yard setback, which is contrary to section 165.117.16 and 165.117.1D1, as the 6-foot high fence is not permitted, whereas 4-foot is permitted. Notice that this application was published. There are no exacerbations to the ROM free zone requirements. With this application, there's no change to the prior approvals. It's just that that front yard setback variance and for the height of the entrance gate.
Right. The applicant's not looking to modify any of the conditions of that resolution either, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Grill. So again, it's just that max height fence in the front yard, as well as the 6-foot by 4-foot.
Mr. Brodnick, just before you get too deep into this, Mr. Behrens and I discussed this earlier today, and it's possible C variance will not be needed, and we'll get to those sections of township regulations when we get to that part of the discussion.
Okay.
Also, just for the record, Mr. McCaffrey had recused from the underlying case, but in consultation with me, that was for added of an abundance of caution for an appearance of conflict. And with consultation with me, that appearance of conflict has disappeared, and that's why he is not recusing tonight. And I am satisfied that there is no longer an appearance of conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I don't know if you want to swear on all our witnesses or just our engineer.
I swear everyone in just so I don't forget. I'm wondering if the right hand, did everyone swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes,
it is. Okay, so let's start over here and go right around the horn. That's it, but identify yourself, spell your last name, give your relationship to the applicant or the board as the case may be.
Robert Kaiser, K-I-S-E-R. You're a licensed professional engineer and a licensed professional planner here in New Jersey.
And you're the applicant's engineering expert.
I'm the applicant's engineer and planner.
Okay, the applicant's engineering and planning expert. Okay, next.
Baker, B-A-K-E-R,
okay, what's your first name again?
Gordon, J-O-R-B-A-N.
Okay. And do you have a position with Baker Construction?
I'm the
president. Okay. I say, identify yourself as the president, not his son. I had an issue with my own father. And do you have a remaining position with the company?
Yes.
Which is?
The director.
Okay. Start right down there and come down this way.
Jim Mazzucco, M-A-Z-Z-U-C-C-O, Portland Architect.
Larry Clavier, P-L-E-V-I-E-R, Ford Engineer.
Tom Behrens, Behrens, B-E-H-R-E-N-S, Board Planner, Bird Assist.
Okay, so the only person that's got to be qualified would be Mr. Kaiser.
I know you're going to be walking around, but just for the board's benefit, could you give just a history of your engineering licensure and some of your experience? How long you've been practicing?
Yes, I've been a licensed engineer here in the state since 1979, and a licensed professional planner since 1981. I was previously the municipal engineer in Princeton, New Jersey for 33 years, and I also oversaw the planning department in my capacity as a community development director there as well. And for the past 5 years, I'm an employee of Stiers Associates, Craig Stiers Associates in Somerville.
And your license is good standing?
Yes, it is.
And what about how many boards have you testified in as an engineer and how many as a planner?
I've testified in multiple boards.
Probably over 100, I assume?
I would say over 50.
Okay. As an engineer, and how about as a planner?
And as a planner, at least 15.
I forgot you because you spent all that time in Princeton. Otherwise, you'd probably have about 500.
You're right. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions at this qualification? No. It's acceptable to planner.
Okay, thank you very much. The application that we have before you is the board shows the modifications, amendments that are proposed.
Okay, let's just do one other thing. Anything that's been submitted doesn't have to be marked as an exhibit, but this obviously has been
colorized rendering of.
So could you mark that exhibit A1? And let me just, how many exhibits do you have? Just it or do you have others?
I have two exhibits.
And just, what's the other exhibit?
The other is an aerial, and this is a rendering of the...
I'm trying to mark them in the same corner. So on the aerial, pick your corner. What corner do you want to mark the A1, and then the aerial is going to be A2?
Let me switch around. I'll show the aerial first.
All right, let's pick the upper right-hand corner. You pick which is A1 and which is A2.
Okay, the aerial is A1.
Okay.
And the rendering will be A2.
Okay, so it's not a rendering. A color-rendered site plan will be A2, correct?
That's correct. So with regard to the aerial, this helps to locate the particular site. The site is 8.6 acres. This is Route 22. It's on 22 westbound. This is the car dealership. It used to be the BMW car dealership, located just to the west of the drive to the site. And to the east, there's retail stores in that particular location. And then also to the east, closer to Route 78, is an operating warehouse. The property is located between Route 22 and 78. It's a flag lot situation with a long, long flag that goes back to the larger area. And it's located in the ROM zone. I'll go ahead and switch to the colored site plan. The improvements proposed is a fence, security fence, that would go across the flagpole portion of the lot where the driveway is located. There's an existing fence between the car dealership property and the Baker property that runs along the property line. Portion of the fence is located on the Baker property, portion on the car dealer property. It's been in place there for many, many years. There are trees growing through it in some particular areas. What's proposed is a connection to that particular fence that would then run along the western side of the entrance drive to the Baker complex. And then there would be a gate, and I guess it's approximately 50 feet or so from the property line. The gate would then provide security. It would be an automated gate at that location. And then the fencing would continue to the east and then run along the eastern property line all the way back to the rear where there's an existing fence along the Route 78 right-of-way. The fencing is proposed to be chain-link fence to connect to the existing chain-link fence between the car dealership and the Baker property. And then, would run northerly direction on the western side, continue chain link fence across where there's the automatic gate, and then as you get over to the property line here, the eastern property line, it would then be a box fence.
What is a box fence?
Box fence is more of a agricultural type fence, used for animals and so forth, and this will be a six foot high fence. There's actually a detail on the plan.
Okay. Can you tell everyone where the detail is on the plan? That's on sheet 5 of 5, upper left-hand corner.
Wire.
That's what you're talking about. Okay.
This is like hog wire, but like goat wire, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's not like chain link where it's weed.
Yeah.
It's
welded wire.
Yeah.
It's rectangular boxes.
We call that gear.
There you go.
So that's the primary improvement that's proposed. In addition, there's a dumpster location, 10 by 10 dumpster, that's located on the eastern side of the paved area just to the north of the underground water storage tank. And that's proposed to be relocated to the west within the parking lot area and would remain the same size. I know there was a question regarding the detail. The detail, I believe, said 16 feet, but it's 10 by 10. The size does not change. And then the third improvement is three fuel storage tanks, two 2,500-gallon tanks and one 500-gallon tank. The two 2,500-gallon tanks, one would be diesel fuel off-road, and then the second one would be diesel fuel on-road, and the 500-gallon tank would be for gasoline.
Can you show where those are going to be on Exhibit A2?
They are located at the northwest corner of the building area.
And those are above ground?
They're above ground tanks. And there's an ordinance requirement that the tanks be a minimum of 10 feet away from the building. And we show them here approximately 15 feet away from the building.
John, I do have some comments on the AST that wasn't in my report.
The AST is above ground storage tank.
Yeah. So I don't know when a good time would be to...
Let's see if any questions for the applicant first.
From us, Tom? Yeah, the existing fence, 6 foot high already. They've got the chain link that goes, the existing.
The existing fence that runs along the property line here?
Yes, sir, around the three sides.
I'm familiar with this one. I have to ask the bakers what's on the around the other side, but this
Baker is asking about that fence separating the Baker property from the car dealership. How high is that existing chain link fence? That's what he's asking.
That particular fence is actually 7 feet high. Okay. As I said, it's been there for many, many years. You can tell that from the trees that grow through it.
Okay, and then I only have a small scale, so it almost looks like a driveway coming from your southerly portion of the detention facility, or is that an overflow?
This is actually a combination of the two.
Being what?
It provides for an overflow, and in addition, it provides access to the basin for maintenance purposes.
Do you have a gate there also?
Yes, there would be a gate there as well.
Okay.
It'd be a double gate at that particular location.
Right. So it doesn't have to be the slide gate or anything, as you're proposing.
No.
That's it. So correct. It doesn't have to be the slide gate.
Correct.
Correct.
Thank you.
And the security gate, the slide gate as proposed right now, is that security? How does it operate? I guess that's my question.
The gate is motorized, and there will be a card reader.
Okay.
vehicles would come in, activate the gate, go through, and the gate would close.
Okay, and I know Don is proposing to put an office on the site. I don't know what kind of visitors or customers you have coming to the site. Is that necessary to have that for individuals coming to your office? Or you want?
What he wants to know is, if a visitor comes on the site, how's he going to get through the gate? Is he going to call on the phone? And then do they have some kind of push button or code or whatever that they can open the gate or not? No, he's up. You can say, I don't know. I got to find out from my client.
Yeah, I would defer to the bakers.
Go back and find out, because as an expert, you can rely on hearsay information given by a laborer. Just whisper it so we don't hear it.
Okay, the bakers have advised me that there will be a push button as you approach your gate. There will be a speaker there. You can call the office, and then the office would activate the motor to open up the gate. It'd go through, and it would close.
Thank you. That's it.
Any other questions?
Larry? I guess in regards to the fencing, just for the record, you're not proposing to eliminate any parking spaces with the relocated bumper?
No.
Well, as a point of clarification, I think you're actually adding the space from the prior approval in the northerly parking aisle. You went from 29 to 30 spaces from the prior approval.
Yes, in this particular area here. Right.
Show the board where was the dumpster enclosure and now where is it supposed to be.
Okay, the dumpster enclosure has not been constructed as of yet. Dumpster enclosure is right at this particular location.
But you said that one of the changes was you were moving it.
Yes.
So where was it approved, and where is it proposed to be relocated to, which you're asking for approval?
The dumpster was approved at the northeast corner of the paved area and just north of the water storage, underground water storage tank, and it's proposed to be relocated to the west within the proposed stone paving area.
So by moving it out of the paved area, that's how you're picking up a parking space. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Are there provisions to have access for fire department and emergency services through the automatic gate? Especially given the above ground fuel tanks.
What's proposed is...
Start with them again?
Why don't you hold that question for one of the bakers? As far as the ASTs, from what I can see, it doesn't meet municipal code, but there is some requirements that it would need to be reviewed for the fire code, so my suggestion would be a shop drawing to the middle, similar like we did to the underground water storage tank. The other issue with the tanks is that because there's storage that exceeds, I think the threshold was 1,320 gallons, you have to prepare what they call an SPCC. It's a spill prevention control and countermeasure plan. That's required by EPA. I don't believe it has to be filed with the EPA, it just has to be on site. It's just for the transfer of fuel from either a delivery truck to the tanks or tanks to vehicles. And I don't believe it has to be from a PE. I think there's a certain size on the tanks, but it is something that should be done. And I would think for just good practices, it might be good just to have a copy submitted to the planning board files to Denise. But as far as everything else, it seems to comply. But there is some code requirements for the National Fire Protection Association.
And by the way, when the ASATs need to be reviewed and approved by blank via submission of shop drawings,
I would say it should be approved by the engineer and by the fire official.
Okay.
Which I think was very similar to what we did for the underground tanks. I mean, there's going to be information that's going to be on those detailed shop drawings that really aren't necessary for the site plan application.
And the applicant would agree to those provisions. for Larry.
Yeah.
The spill prevention plan should be submitted to who? You mentioned the planning board?
Yeah.
Township engineer? Fire department?
It's not really required to.
Okay.
But nope.
Planning board? Township engineer?
Yeah, it's just for record purposes. Okay. To prove that it's on site.
Okay, got it.
Yes, SPCC, Spill Prevention, Control, and Countermeasures.
And Tom, could you, address this fence thing?
Yes, ready to talk about that? Do you want to go first?
Right. So the relief that the applicant had requested is relative to the location of the chain link fence in the front yard area, which in the area between the front yard setback on Route 22 and the building. However, upon further review of the ordinance, it seems that the applicant may actually be exempt from those provisions in this case. And I'll start with the first one.
Yeah, just do it nice and slow.
So the first one that was referenced is section 165-117.1B6, which states chain link.
We're already going too fast.
Did you get the citation?
Yep. Did you get the citation?
Right. Okay. Now further to states chain link fences shall be prohibited in front yards and in side yards between the street right of way and the front yard setback line in all zones in the township. So the setback line in this case is 100 feet from the Route 22 right-of-way.
Can you stop? This isn't a chain-link fence.
A portion of it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Right. At least a portion.
Okay.
I believe the front.
Yes.
I think there's a discrepancy in terms of defining what the front yard, the front lot line is, and based on my review of the ordinance and interpretation, would only be the lot line that's parallel and adjacent to Route 22. So in that case, the closest portion of the fence is actually over 200 feet from the right-of-way, and therefore is beyond the required setback.
Okay. So hold on.
Tom, it complies with that, so...
Back up. I'm not sure I'm reading that the same way. Could I read this slowly and see if others... Chain-link fences shall be prohibited in front yards and in side yards between the street right-of-way and the front yard setback line in all zones. So between the street right-of-way...
Where's the front yard setback line? Let's ask the applicant engineer, where is the front yard setback line as reflected on your Exhibit A2? And then we'll ask about the fences.
We show the front yard setback line as being... It's approximately in this location here.
Okay, and where is the fence?
And the fence starts with
in front of it or behind it? Is the fence in front of the setback line, meaning in front of it being south of the setback line, or is the fence located north of the setback line?
A portion of the fence is located to the south or to the Route 22 side of that setback line.
The existing chain link, not the new.
Both. Both existing chain link and a portion of the new.
A portion of the fence is located to the south of the front yard setback line, and a portion is located to the north of the fence.
As we depicted on the drawing, that's correct.
So they would need a variance for that portion of the fence, which is located to the south of the front of the front yard setback line. And that's what the ordinance
seems
to
think.
I have a question. Who owns the fence?
Do you own the fence? Whose fence?
The new fence?
The existing fence. The existing fence between Baker and the automobile dealership. Whose fence is it? Whose property is it located on?
Do we own the fence?
the fence meanders both back and forth, so I really can't respond to that.
In the fence, does the fence bend up north, or does the fence bend to the south?
I would suspect that it will be the auto dealership because it wraps to the south.
Yeah, or usually it's the face of the fence is away from your property.
Yeah, but it's a chain link.
Yeah, but still, you...
When you, that's a good point. When you went out there, you know the supporting poles that the chain link gets wired to? Are those poles to the north side of the chain link fence or the south side of the chain link fence?
I didn't take note.
I still think, do you mind if I...
Yeah. Explain the compass. He just can be...
No, go ahead.
Yeah,
if you don't mind, I'm just going to try to think visually might...
Mr. O'Brien, this is a regular occurrence. Okay?
I've been wrong before, but based on, again, further review of the ordinance, what establishes a front lot line is that a lot line has to essentially be along and adjacent to the right-of-way that's adjacent to the parcel. And there's only one lot line that meets that criteria, which would be further down here, and is approximately 200 feet to this distance.
So you're saying that you think the right setback line
is down here somewhere. That's because these, based on the ordinance definitions, would technically be, although they might be considered in the front, they're technically side lot lines. And therefore, if the provision states that it can't be located within the required front yard setback, we're only talking about the area down here, technically speaking. Functionally, I understand that may be a different
So setbacks area. Are defined in Ordinance Section 165-4 as, quote, the required yard or distance between buildings and property line.
Right. And now read, there's lot line front. Lot line comma front.
Yeah,
I know we're getting into the weeds here.
And we're into definition big time.
The lot line separating a lot.
Hold on. Lot line front.
Yeah. The lot line separating a lot from a street right of way and common with the right of way line.
Anyone know what that means?
They wrote it in 1986.
It means it shares. So on one side you have the property, on the other side you have the right of way. And it's directly separating the two. So anything that's perpendicular to the right of way would qualify as a sidewalk.
Whichever way you guys want to come out on this, I don't want to put it in the resolution. If you come out that he doesn't need a variance, he doesn't need a variance. If he needs a variance, I have to explain why.
John, can I add a question?
Yeah.
If the original application required a variance, let's say for the basin in the front yard, did it require a 100-foot step? Now you're going to change that. You might have a cubic feet.
That's a good question. That's a good point. Hold on. Here's the original approval. Hold on. The original approval.
Actually, hang on. We have a definition for setback, which does not reference from the lot line. It references from the property line. The original
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Resolution 2020-01. Granted. 17 pieces of relief, 2 D1 variances, 3 C1 variances, bunch of exceptions. Let's see if there's any C variances for that basin.
Page 11.
Page 21. I'm looking at the relief granted.
Okay,
so item 4, C1 variance for detention basin location. Subject to the conditions set forth below, a C1 variance is hereby granted from Ordinance Section 165-98E, which provides that no accessory structures shall be located in a setback area. From the schedule, which requires a minimum setback of 100 feet in the front yard setback area, to allow the detention basin within the front yard setback 55 feet. So, listen, the board has weighed in on this. The easiest way to do it, they noticed... They noticed for a variance to have the fence in that front yard. They had to look, you guys could decide what you want to do. It's a good argument. They're connecting to an existing fence. They got security. Is anyone going to see it from the street? I'm not testifying, but I'm saying the easiest way to deal with this and stay consistent is they noticed for it, treat it as a a variance from Ordinance Section 165-117.1, paren D and paren, paren 6 and paren. That's my advice. Anyone have a problem if we do that? Applicant have a problem if we do that?
No, sir.
You guys have, anyone have a problem?
No.
I'm not asking Jackie.
Could you explain that again?
I think it's easier to grant the variance than trying to clarify all the logic to justify that kind of don't need a variance. Because there are too many moving parts here. When we look at what definitions and relief that we give from the initial, how does that line up with the arguments here? Like, you just give them the C variance. If we're so inclined to do that.
Because the board,
and we're not to name all the details.
The board in 2020 looked at the detention basin as needing a C variance because it was in a front yard setback.
And is that near where this fence is going to be?
Yes.
Okay. The
reason this would come up, if board members were not inclined to give a C variance for the fence, and then the applicant wanted to argue, well, I don't need your approval anyway.
Right. If the board, so when you can straw poll yourselves, and if the straw poll is, we don't want to grant that variance, then the applicant's going to argue, we don't need that variance. But if the board's inclined to grant it, we don't have to go there.
And this is for the fence that's going to be near the road.
The new fence.
And it's going to be
slider.
Chain link.
Not near the road, though.
In the front. It's the security fence, which is connected to the gate, which is connected to the existing fence between the Baker property and the dealership.
But also, there's going to be new chain link fence. Is there not?
Yeah, can you,
on the right?
Can you go up to, right, we haven't talked about that fence yet, Heidi. Right now, we're only talking about the fence in the front yard. The other fence would be in the side yard. We haven't discussed that one yet. So can you, with your finger, show Heidi exactly where the fence is that the applicant is seeking a variance to allow to be located in front of the front yard setback?
The portion of the fence
within the front yard setback, yeah,
that is within the front yard setback would be that portion that is on the western side of the driveway up to where it turns and then continues across and a short distance along the eastern property line. So from here, where my pen is, on down will be what we would consider to be within the front yard setback area. And that location is approximately 200 feet away from Route 22.
Thank you.
And, sir, this is no closer to the road than the existing fence. Is that true?
That is correct. No. It's absolutely no closer than the existing fence.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Is there an issue with these fence on the
side.
Eastern side yard?
Okay.
Can't hear you.
The fence, in my understanding, I believe it could be up to 7 or 8 feet in height and be up to the property line. So there's no setback issues relative to the side yard.
Right, because you testified that the proposed fencing is going to be 6 feet high, and that's what the notes or the diagram on your plan on sheet 5 say.
That is correct. We're asking for a 6-foot high fence.
Can I just ask, is there any board member that thinks they might have a problem voting in favor of this fence? No. Okay.
So, brief clarity. So it's going to be the rectangular fence that's going to be going along the right of way, and then big, heavy automatic gate, and then the wire fence again.
Okay. Just to clarify, from the existing fence at the auto dealership, which is chain link, it will continue chain link up to where the fence turns to the slide gate, and the slide gate will be chain link fence, and it will continue to be chain link until the fence turns to the north along the eastern property line, at which point it will change to the box fence.
So the side yard fence is the 6 foot high box wire fence, and the front yard fence is the 6 foot high chain link fence.
Correct.
So you're going to go from 7 feet to 6 feet?
No, six.
Well, the existing is
that. The existing. 7 feet.
Correct.
You will have a reduction in height on the fence, but where you meet the old fence.
That's correct. Where that connection takes place, it will drop down from 7 feet to 6 feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions about fences?
Yeah. Not a question, but to follow up on Jim's comment about the black vinyl, is that?
We had a discussion pretty as part of the meeting. They consented to that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I didn't hear that.
No, it hasn't been.
Well, you haven't heard it because it hasn't been said yet.
you're always
a step ahead, that's why.
Okay.
And as we mentioned earlier, from the time of the approval from the county zone, designation has changed to the CROM, which incorporates or consolidates the prior R13, C2, and ROC. So it does not impact your application at all in terms of permitted use or bulk standards. They are the same. So I just wanted to clarify that.
The bulk standards are the same, and it doesn't matter what the permitted use is because they have a use variance that runs with the land.
Okay, sir, do you have other testimony?
Are there any other variances other than the variance that front yard chain link fence?
No, sir. I think there's a slight reduction in impervious just by moving the dumpster.
Yeah, we're going to be adding it with the inner pads under the AST, so it's an offset.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want?
There's also a variance for the height of the fence on there as well.
Depends how you apply the standards, but I believe you have the two citations that you requested the week before, it's right or wrong, so
yeah, the applicant. Yes, it's 165.117.16 and 165.117.1D1. The latter being the height, the former being setback.
So if we're applying the same front yard standard, technically, you bump that in.
So it's not the material, it's the height.
Yeah, both.
Fences in non-residential districts. Fences in non-residential districts may be required by the planning board as part of a site plan application. In such circumstances, the fence shall conform to the following standards. A fence 4 feet or less in height. Now, this is interesting because we have fence ordinance, which, if you ask me, at least in B, is a zoning ordinance requirement. You have D, it's in the same ordinance, but it says fences in non-residential districts may be required by the planning board as part of a site plan application. It sounds like that is a site plan ordinance requirement, which would be an exception and not a variance. I don't know. How could one
it's located in zoning regulation?
It's located in zoning
regulation.
What we're saying is exceptions under the MOUL are from site plan ordinance requirements.
Right.
Variances are from zoning ordinance requirements.
Right.
Maybe this is just wordage funny, but the fence ordinance is in the township zoning ordinance.
Okay.
Normally, it's a variance. D is worded funny. In the zoning ordinance, it says, fences in non-residential districts may be required by the planning board as part of a site plan application, and if they're required by the planning board, they shall conform to the following. And if they're in the front yard, they can't be more than 4 feet high.
Yeah, two points. If you read the next paragraph, it says you can go to 6 feet high.
Yes, but it doesn't meet those requirements.
I believe it does.
Where the minimum front yard setback is at least 50 feet.
The 25 feet beyond.
Provided that the fence is located no closer to the street right-of-way than the required front yard setback, plus an additional 25 feet.
And Tom Barron's, you did the measurement on that question today.
Correct, but it goes back to that delineation of the setback. Okay. So it, depending on how you fall.
Can I, again, easier? The variance, the fence height, they're going to make an argument that it's a security fence. 4 foot high fence is not a security fence.
I'm actually just confused still about the wording in D. Yeah, the fences in non-residential districts may be required by the planning board. And in those circumstances, the fence shall conform to.
Yes, I read this. I thought of that one. I didn't want to bring it up, but I figured you could jump on it. So you
circumstances.
Right. Look, it's funny language.
Yeah.
Maybe. Listen, these guys, they're not asking to, make these arguments. They're asking, given they want the two variances so they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
They're not asking that they're not saying that doesn't apply, because let's say you agree, and let's say the next door neighbor, who's not here, and probably is not going to appeal, but Tom and I have been doing this long enough that every now and then, someone comes out of the woodworks. When someone comes out of the woodwork, and they look for little things, what if they found this one? And what if they appealed on that basis? And what if some judge felt that no?
Like the C variance will be sounder in the long run.
Yes. It's just a more conservative approach.
And then we take this up with the ordinance subcommittee.
Take it up with the ordinance subcommittee. Don't take it out on you guys. So,
what else is there?
So that's the second variance is for 6 foot instead of 4 foot high fence in the front yard.
Anything else on fences you guys couldn't follow?
And then the black vinyl.
That's going to be a condition.
Right.
But you haven't been through the reports.
I have two additional comments regarding the fence.
Are you sure you want to get them? No, seriously.
I'll
do me a favor. Run that by Mr. O'Grodnik in his ear, and then tell us if you want to make them. Because right now,
these relate.
I know, just whisper to Mr. O'Grodnik and let him tell you if he thinks it's a good idea.
We're going to address and respond to comments of the professionals.
That's the best way to do it. Let them. Okay. So, you're done with this witness?
Yes, sir.
And let me just say, I assume that you're, as a planner, your argument for the fence variances, they're C2s, not C1, and the purpose of zoning is that can be advanced as security, and you're going to say that there's no negatives because you can't really see it from the street in any event. Is that correct?
That's correct. Also, it's a benefit to the environment as well, because once this fence is put in place, it will protect the new landscaping that's been installed to a certain extent.
That's a great argument. And if it's security and environment. Mm-hmm. And if you agree to his condition about the black vinyl, aesthetically, it will be virtually impossible to see from the road. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Because instead of the sun a couple times a day shining on the bright chain link and maybe reflecting so someone sees it on the road and gets slightly distracted temporarily with the black vinyl, you're not going to see anything, correct?
Correct.
There you go.
And just for the record, before we move on to this witness, there is no one here in the public, so there's no one here to ask any comments either for or against the application. So I want to make sure that's on the recorded record. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I think you should just pick one of the two of them just to answer some general operation questions.
Okay. Yeah.
You can grab a chair if you want to sit. More comfortable.
Actually, you know what? There you go.
Do you have any testimony?
I think he's here just to answer your questions.
Go right back to what I was asking, the access for fire and other emergency vehicles through the gate.
We'll have a Knox box mounted right by the entrance to the gate. That'll have either a car
or a key code or something.
Okay.
Actually, is there an issue with that if there's no power?
No, there'd be the disconnect on the fence so that.
And then it can be manually moved?
Yeah, manually with the key. Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions?
Just maybe one general question.
Nice and loud, though.
I have one general question about the facility on 31. Mm-hmm. And how that relates to this.
All right, so that's the question I asked in the other application.
No, that's why I said, you know. Okay, sure. But I was thinking about it beforehand, too. So what is the timeline about when that one closes?
Well, we can't do anything with that one until we get a CO.
Can I just read what the condition says?
Sure. That'd be great.
The condition in Resolution 2020-01, Condition 9, is titled Closing of the Applicant's Existing Facility at the Route 31 Site. It says within 12 months of obtaining a temporary CO or a permanent CO, whichever is first obtained, for use of the property, the applicant shall vacate the Route 31 site and its use of the existing facility at the Route 31 site shall cease and desist. I would say that even though, well, So the condition says 1 year from obtaining a temporary CO or a permanent CO.
So the plan, we have to get a CO. We're going to apply for a CO, probably not temporary. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to take us some time to move over. We'll probably use 9 or 10 months out of that year.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm not testifying, but I recall when the board put the 12 months in, that's what he said. That it's not like you can get a CO one day and then close up shop, because the second sentence of Condition 9 says vacating the facility and ceasing use of the Route 31 site means all equipment, materials, and debris shall be removed from the site. All signage shall be removed from the site. And all lighting, with the sole exception being security lighting, shall be turned off. So that's why they need time.
Anything else, sir?
No. Okay. Tom, which of these guys do you want to go first? So down the line, what do you want to go?
I was saying, Larry, you have some more items in your...
not if they've... the only thing that wasn't in my report that I wanted us to put on the record was about the ASTs, the storage tanks.
Yeah, we have that now.
Yeah.
That's the condition that they agreed to. So I guess we should ask the applicant. If you don't have an issue with any of the comments in Larry's report, then you just say, yeah, make them all conditions, and nothing else has to be said about that. Everything in Larry's report will be a condition unless you want to talk about something.
Oh, final Larry's report.
Okay. There was one policy issue. Just curious on where it stood with the access easement from the adjacent property. Is that in file with the county?
Larry, what number is that, and what page?
I'm in my report one for the amended application. It's page 2. It's B2C.
Ah.
So I just know that, and even for a CO or a TCO, legally to cross that, we should have a file and use it. I know that, it was Chuck Irvin's
problem. Yeah, that right? Was filed.
Oh, it was filed, okay.
Was filed. Yeah.
I don't know if we...
So put it this way.
A copy of that?
Yeah. I didn't. Do you have, by any chance, do you have a copy of that with you tonight?
I don't, but it was a requirement of the DOT approval.
Okay, why don't we convert that to a condition that it's got to be...
Well, let's say, I say provide evidence, so...
Yeah, submit.
Yeah. So if you have it, Jordan, maybe you should be emailed. And I'll pass it along to Denise.
Okay. Yeah, do the email to Denise.
Okay.
When we're submitting with a copy... Larry.
Yeah, and really, it's once it's filed, it should go to the assessor's office for updating the tax match. That's another.
Okay, so that would be the
county. Yeah, the county should send it to the assessor to update the tax match. That's not the applicant's responsibility.
So the county should do that, or I should do that.
The county should file that with the assessor.
That's right. The county should do
it. So it.
Okay. You good, Larry? Okay. Jim, how about you? Anything in your report you want to
Can we talk about the vinyl coated chain link fence? Also commented that opposed to the box wire fence should also be black vinyl coated, as those are spec as galvanized as well.
So again, put it this way. If you agree with everything in Jim's report, just say we agree.
I want to comment on number 7. Just because I know during the installation of the landscaping, there was some adjustments that you made along that side of the driveway. A lot of utilities are coming up along there. Do you think they have enough room for the fence then?
Yeah, it's really an engineering question, but yeah. We do. We definitely have enough room.
Okay. And I know, you just have a note there about it. It has to be fully adjusted to avoid any existing conditions.
Right, absolutely. We'll comply.
Okay.
All recommendations of the August 17th.
Okay.
You good, Jim?
Yeah.
And Tom, do you have any open items on your report?
I have none.
Okay.
Correct.
That's it, then, right? Anyone have any final comments, questions, concerns, problems, and anything? So, John, give a list of the relief that you could run down.
Yeah, not this one's actually very easy because all the conditions in the expert reports are going to, all the comments in the expert reports are going to become conditions. The only additional conditions are the submission of a spill prevention plan to the planning board and township engineer, that there's going to be a condition that the above ground storage tanks need to be reviewed and approved by both the township engineer and the township fire official via submission of shop drawings. There's going to be a condition that a Knox box shall be located near the gate, and that if no power, there has to be a key to allow manual operation. Now, the other things that should be discussed are in the board's rules, as the board has standard conditions. So the one that we'd like to point out to people is a standard condition on how much time you have to pull construction permits, as you heard, and how much time you have to get your permit CO. You just saw the prior case. So even if you think you're going to go with, like the sound, the speed of sound or light, unless you ask for something, you get 1 and 1, which might not be enough. So you might want to ask for 2 years to pull the permits, and if you think it's going to take you more than a year to construct, 2 years to construct. Oh, let's see what the other, you know what? You might be right. Let me look at the resolution. Put it this way. They're here for an amended approval. Whatever the underlying resolution says, it says. Thank you.
May 11th, 2023.
Yeah.
Paragraph 16, page 36.
Yeah. So unless you have, the applicant shall obtain zoning and construction permits for the proposed development by May 11, 2023. If you're still on target with that, leave it alone, and you have 2 years from the date of issuance of the permits to get the CO. So we had this discussion in 2020, and I'm just not remembering. Okay? No problem.
Okay.
That's it.
All set. Thank you. The motion to grant the C variance and change to the site plan.
So moved.
The 2C.
Two
variants. 2 separate? C, yeah.
Well, we had 2 different
things. In the front yard and the height.
Chain will hit.
Okay. And motion and second, please. And you got the second?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Ms. Robach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Ms.
Yeager? Yes. Okay, Mike, if he wants this resolution anytime soon, give me a first draft.
Okay.
And send me an email tomorrow, and I can give you the Word doc version of the last resolution, plus I can give you a Word doc version of my latest amended preliminary site plan resolution.
Perfect. Thank you, John. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Stay triumphant.
So letter for festivals.
Can I ask one more question? If you don't want to, are you in a big rush on this thing with the Sixth Amendment or not? Right, but if that's the case, because the conditions are very limited, they're on the expert reports already, you might want to, the board can't order this, but the board could ask its zoning officer, who happens to also be Denise, who's the board secretary, if she's heard what's going on, she knows that the conditions are right out of the reports, except for those other three which she has taken good notes on, you might want to ask the board to ask her to consider issuing the zoning permit as if the resolution was already adopted.
That's a great suggestion. We would be very appreciative.
What's the board think about that?
Very problem. I've done this dozens of times before.
Right. Okay.
Thank you for coming.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank Denise for that. I didn't.
Okay, so before the board adjourns, Jackie, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And Tom, Jim, Larry, thanks for your time. We have two small items. You guys can go. We're just going to talk about a couple of things related to the ordinances here. So one is the term maximum.
Hold on, hold on. Okay. I understand. I
was going to do the easy one.
I understand, but we want to be able to hear.
What's that?
Sorry.
That's my rubber band. Very protective of that.
No, the first discussion.
Tom, do you have a note for January for the organization committee about all of these black lots? Because it's not that we hit at least three different flag lot things today where we don't know where we're measuring from the flag lot.
Well, this has already been sent. I've discussed this with the mayor and Kevin Sinead, and they've already had it and discussed it with the planning board.
Okay.
This is more I'm going to reach you exactly.
Okay.
The first question is, under the municipal land use law, you only have to record if there's a hearing. You don't have to record a non-hearing portion of a meeting. So we ask Denise, if you're comfortable taking notes, you could stop the recording. If you want, you don't have to. That's the first thing.
Okay. This first one, I don't have a problem. I sort of lean in the direction of share with the public. This is going to be a very short discussion of the definition. So the term that's come up, a lot of times it's caused some confusion even with people that support us planning, is maximum depth of measurement. And that comes up, and people say, what does that mean? And some people think, well, it's a limit on the maximum depth a lot can have. That's not what it means. So I took a run at rewriting the definition, because the one in the book, the ordinance, is not confusing. Just read it to you.
Right, before you read the definition, can you explain in layman's terms what was the intent
Let me just read this, John, and I think it'll be clear.
Okay.
Because if I have to explain it, that means the definition isn't very good.
Okay, that's fair.
Fair enough. Maximum depth of measurement. Maximum depth of measurement is a distance measured from and perpendicular to a street right of way. Maximum depth of measurement is used when computing minimum lot area. Lot area from the street right of way back as far as the maximum depth of measurement count towards minimum lot size. Lot area further back from the street right of way in the maximum depth of measurement does not count towards minimum lot size. Maximum depth of measurement is not a restriction on the maximum permitted lot depth. The point of this is if you have a flat lot, So the flag lot is a half-mile driveway, maximum depth of measurement, let's say it's 300 feet. You only go back 300 feet, say, how much land area do I have? If you're only counting 20 feet wide because it's a driveway, then you're not going to come up with the 30,000 feet you need. This is a regulation to discourage flag lots.
Can you add that in the definition?
Okay.
That's all I'm suggesting.
Okay.
Maybe he did say.
No, everything he meant, but can he add that this is a regulation to discourage flag lots?
Right, that's what he just
yeah.
And what he just said.
Yeah.
How can you put that in there? I mean, someone may have an existing flag lot.
This is only for computing lot area. This is not for...
Well, it's a definition.
It should be an application.
Yeah, okay. But, all right, so you have a variance situation.
But this only affects you if you're doing subdivision.
Right. Well, if someone has an existing flag lot, right, and they have a dwelling on it, they have a lawfully created, pre-existing, non-conforming condition. Entitled to But right now, under the definition... If you do all the machinations, that's what it is anyway. You have that today. This is just making the definition clear so people can apply it.
Yes. I'm just looking at if you have an existing flag lot. What if, in my past history, I've done some of these things where the county, especially on the county road, they would require, if you have a 50-foot flag lot, split it in half, nonetheless, and have a common easement from county road back to two flag lots that only have 25 and 25.
Listen.
Nothing that
would...
No,
what's your question?
Right, what's the question? Well, my question being, you have two lots now, two vacant lots, per se, that you have two existing...
Well, first of all, lots would be on a road, right?
Yes, they do.
And the second lot, in your case, would not. They need some variances. They need some relief.
Well, they would need variances, right.
Right.
Okay. All right, I understand, and your definition explanation is good. I follow that easy enough, even myself. But but I see what you're talking about. Is I'm looking at possibly creating flag lots.
You understand, this is not changing anything. It's making it clear.
Yes.
We have regulations that say...
On the books.
Minimum lot size is X and these requirements. And the question is, well, how do I calculate minimum lot size? Well, this is part of how you do that. It's not changing the table requirement.
Yeah.
It's just making it more clear how you do the calculation.
Well, you just said is to eliminate flag lot.
Oh. No, it eliminates confusion.
Right.
No, because the existing...
Well, that's the last sentence you just said.
I understand, but that's always what... Right, but that's always what the minimum depth of measurement was intended to do. It's just that... Every time it came up, everyone was splashing their heads, and you had to call up John Matson.
Here's the existing.
Yeah, this is what I was wondering. What does it say right now?
Okay. Depth of measurement, comma, maximum. Right away, I got a problem. It's a distance, as specified in this chapter, measured from and parallel to a street. I think that's an error.
It's definitely an error.
Yeah. Parallel to the street right of way within which the required minimum lot size must be measured.
That is really a terrible way of saying that.
That's what, right. Tom has cured the problem. If you understand it,
there's no change.
It's just we made it not.
I just made it so when people read it, they can say, oh, I understand how they measure this now. That's all I'm doing. Not changing any requirements, not changing any restrictions on lot size. Just making it so when someone comes along, you're right, they don't have to call Max. Okay, so I will make that.
Where is this located? In what?
It's in the ordinances.
In our ordinances?
Yeah. Yes.
Not that.
There.
Okay. It's in the ordinances.
So what do other towns do?
Can I tell you something? Other towns don't have this. In Raritan Township, they just have a provision that says there shall be no flag lots.
Oh. It seems a little easier.
Right.
Okay.
But we're allowing flag lots as long as they're like squat, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They're allowing a form of flag lots here.
Okay, so that was
the one good night, right away? Yeah, no, I think it's good.
And now, if it comes up again, you say, I remember we talked about that definition.
Well, unless you get it before January, well, they're and then we don't have the problem.
The planning board already has this. I already sent this over and discussed with Kevin Sinead.
Yeah, they do have to actually adopt it.
They may have done it by now.
No, they haven't. Yeah. The order of the subcommittee, it's on their list.
Okay.
It's on their short list.
The second thing I wanted to talk about was Denise and I are talking tonight, yes, John, to explain what changes in the laws there are related to sign ordinances.
Right. So on this one, when Tom asked me about this, I said, this should be a board discussion, and this needs to be in closed session because I have to render attorney-client privileged legal advice. So I want to suggest that someone so move after I say the motion. There should be a motion, in my opinion, to go into closed session to obtain attorney-client legal advice from the board attorney where confidentiality is required for me to exercise my duties as an attorney. And because this is going to be attorney-client privileged advice, the minutes of the meeting should not be released. So would someone...
So much. I'll
second. Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
So now I turn it off the recording. There's no reason to record a closed session unless...
Are we going to adjourn the meeting now?
No.
Oh, we're going to come back
No, the meeting is not adjourned. It's just that, and then on the record, even though...
Oh, we have the actual system off also.
No.
So you're trying to record.
You don't need to record.
No, but she said she was starting the recording again.
Oh, well, so...
I'm saying she's not actually recording anything.
No. She can record again, but you need to make... Technically, the motion to close the close and open the open has to be made in the open. Okay? So even though you just said in the close, we're making a motion to come out of close. In the open session, some...
Okay, we're back on the record.
Okay, could a motion to come out of the executive session?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? No. Anyone else have anything before we adjourn? Motion to adjourn, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That was 2 hours. Okay.